Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of us have come to Zen practice because we have been plagued by what's referred to as monkey mind. That is, that we are always consumed by thought and worry, which undermines our well-being. And we hope that meditation will help us quiet our minds. Monkey mind is a Buddhist term, meaning unsettled or restless. It's a mind that jumps from thought to thought like a monkey jumping from tree to tree. Rather than being in the present moment, we are disturbed by one thought after another, effectively being unable to be present what's before us. Monkey mind does not discriminate by age, nationality, or gender. Now, Zazen is a practice which can help allow this monkey mind to be quiet. And you've all had meditation instructions, so we know that when we teach Zazen, we instruct the person to pay attention to their breath. And if the person becomes distracted by thoughts, we tell them to simply note that fact and gently return their attention to the breath, and to just simply keep doing this over and over again. So by practicing this way, we slowly and subtly teach ourselves to let go of thoughts and just come back to the breath. And over time, by doing this, we will learn how to let our minds be still. Now, there's a subtle distinction here. It's not that we will still our minds. We will allow our minds to be still. And I make that distinction because if we set out with the idea that we are going to still our minds, we are creating an opposition between ourselves and our minds, and a separation as well. So we sit to allow our mind to be still. But Zazen is not the only part of Zen practice that supports allowing the mind to be quiet. The operation of the entire Zendo, the rituals, the practices that are part of our practice, also contribute to and support a mind that is still. A simple example of this is placement of our shoes after we enter the Zendo. And if you've been to more than one Zendo, you know that usually students are taught to place their shoes on a shoe rack in a neat and orderly fashion. And this instruction is given because the way we place our shoes can directly affect the activity of our mind. So I want you to consider something. Just close your eyes for a minute. And imagine, well, actually, before we even, I'm getting ahead of myself, just notice how you feel in your body and how you feel in your mind. And then imagine that you have a 15-year-old son or daughter, even if you don't really or never had. Just imagine that you have a 15-year-old son or a 15-year-old daughter. And you open the door to their bedroom, and you see the bed is a mess, shoes are thrown all over the floor, maybe there's even a shoe or two in the bed, books piled akimbo all over the desk, closet door opening, clothes hanging on or off the door. And now notice what you feel in your body. Notice if you have any emotion in your body. And then notice if there's been any change in the activity of your mind. I have a good friend who, she's an adult now, but who when his daughter was a teenager. Now this is a really good friend, somebody that I've known for years, been through all sorts of stuff. He would not allow me to look in his daughter's bedroom. He was so ashamed of what was in there. But that kind of disorderliness affects our minds and affects our ability to just simply be still, simply be present. The crooked cucumber is a biography of Suzuki Roshi. And the first third of that book chronicles his monastic background in Japan, including at Eheiji, which was Dogen's temple. And when you read this, you know there it points out that a lot of attention in training monks is given to performing various activities and rituals, such as bowing, chanting, lighting the incense, wearing the robes correctly, and so forth. In Dogen's temple, there was even a very detailed list, I think I even mentioned this before, of instructions on how to go to the bathroom. I think Japanese culture, which is very disciplined, informs the nature of this training, but I also think that it is intended to create the optimum environment for stilling the mind, or taming the monkey, as the Tibetans say. As we know all too well, our minds are just waiting for the opportunity to jump into action. If we bring a certain amount of attention and discipline to our activities, both in the zendo and outside, there will be less cognitive dissonance to stimulate the body and the mind. So very practically, if we all bow the same way at the appropriate time, there is nothing for the mind to think about. But if one person bows a half bow, and the next person bows but not with in gassho, and another person doesn't bow at all, this will be fertile ground for some of us to notice and start to wonder why one person is bowing one way and another person is bowing a different way, and so on, and then enter into an evaluation of just where this person's progress is with their practice. And, you know, some of you are laughing because you know we do this all the time, not just at the Zendo, but in the world. So therefore, especially in the Zendo, which is a space devoted to permitting the mind to be still, we place an emphasis on sameness and consistency. Somebody once asked me about this, and actually it refers to Still Mind Zendo in New York, which my Dharma sister is a leader of. Both Greg and Janet Abels run that Zendo. And a very advanced person in yoga went to sit there and took the cushion off the mat and put it where they keep the cushions and just sat in a full lotus position, in an exquisitely perfect position on just the mat. And as the story goes, Janet went up quietly and tapped this young woman on the shoulder and said, "You have to use the cushion." Now, when this was first presented to me, I thought, well, that's just Janet being Janet. You know, Janet likes to run a very strict and formal Zendo. But I realized there was some real value in that on a number of levels. First, in the context of what I'm talking about, you didn't have everybody else in the Zendo sitting one way and then this other person who is different, which would naturally activate the mind. It also may have been taking into account the possibility that there was a little bit of ego in being able to sit so perfectly without a cushion, which activates the practitioner's mind. So this sense of orderliness or sameness isn't done to break the spirit. It's actually done to let the spirit come forth, to allow the mind to be still, and to allow us to become in the present moment, to be in the present moment. So each activity that we practice while we're here is an opportunity to embody this moment, and by doing so, let the mind be still, to put the monkey to rest. In AA, they say you are the company you keep, which I think is true. So if we keep company with disorganization and non-attentiveness, that will affect our practice in certain ways. If, on the other hand, we keep company with harmony, orderliness, and attention, this association will have certain effects on our practice. Now, it's important, to me anyway, to repeat this, that this relationship with practice, with the Zendo, and each other is not grounded in some kind of anal retentiveness or militarism. It's really grounded in the spirit of oneness and a mutual effort amongst ourselves to create the optimum conditions for a still mind. So when we take our place on the cushion, or when we bow entering the zendo, or we all walk similarly in kinhin, we're not just doing this for ourselves and to allow our mind to be still. We're doing it for each other. We're sharing the practice with each other and supporting each other by doing this. So when we come to the zendo and we don't wear a flashy Hawaiian shirt, we wear something subdued, we're doing this for ourselves and for each other. And again, you know, if you want to wear a flashy Hawaiian shirt under your black sweatshirt, that's fine. We're done. Take it off and be free. But, you know, those kind of graphic art things, and it can stimulate the mind. It can make a person stand out. And as I pointed out before, it starts that process going. So that's the reason why monks all wear the same black robe. Not to break the spirit, but to create a place that doesn't activate the mind, doesn't activate thinking. Again, nobody's going to yell at you if you make a mistake, but what I'm trying to encourage is the spirit of everybody paying attention and doing it the same way, because that's how we support each other. If you forget, or you know, you haven't had your first cup of coffee or something, it's understandable. But it is important, and subtle, but it is very important in maintaining a well-sitting zendo. Thank you.